When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Truth Be Told.
That not only are there reptilians here,
new evidence of UFO fleets.
We were close to nuclear war.
To help you transform so that you can live your highest truth.
We're not being told just because we're not ready for it.
Theo stations of frequency, vibrational.
I was a homicide detective with LAPD.
UFOs increase, visitations. How many of us have looked up to the sky, saw an object that we couldn't identify, which is classified as an unidentified flying object or a UFO? We didn't have anybody to back us up, so we kept it to ourselves. Well, today on the show, we have director Randall Nickerson, who directed Aerial Phenomenon. We're in the country of Zimbabwe, where in 1994, over 60 school children witnessed an unidentified craft land outside their schoolyard. And 25 years later, this interaction was fresh in their memories. And over 25 years of research, interviews, we're going to find out what this craft was, what their experiences were, and hopefully get some details what this UFO encounter could really be. Should be a great show. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, director-producer Randall Nickerson.
Hi, Tony.
There he is. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to have you here. Truth Be Told, we love a good UFO story. And, you know, this is one that I honestly didn't hear much about. It feels like, you know, we always hear about the Roswell, which I'm going to be at in a couple weeks for the 75th anniversary, and a few other crashes or sightings around the country, but we don't necessarily hear about other countries' encounters. And this was a big one. I mean, like you said, it wasn't one or two people that said that they had a sighting, but this is over 60 school children. And so let's just start right in and get into the heart of this, because I know a lot of people out there are going, what? How is this possible? So tell us the short story, and then we'll get into more details.
The short story was that week in September of 1994, and then culminating in the children's witnessing at a primary school in rural Zimbabwe this silver object in the sky first, and then also then on the ground, where it seemed to land or hover above the ground, and then they saw these creatures get out. That's the basic story. There were other people, however, in the surrounding area. The night before and the night after, and the day after, that also had witnessed this. It was not just a children's experience. However, it was the close contact with that, whatever these creatures were, was primarily the children.
So you said it's like a lot of different places. There's sometimes sightings, but no interaction or close encounters, as they say. So was the sightings particularly to, like, maybe an event that happened, You know, there's a lot of times if there's wars, if there's a nuclear reactor or something that in that area that brings attention to maybe a extraterrestrials, is it known for that type of sightings or some type of events around that area?
Well, given this, the year was 1994, which right. was when Mandela came in South Africa, which is really right across the border.
Right.
And there was quite a bit of conflict. A lot of change as it was going on in Africa at the time. I don't know what it had to do with, to be honest with you. There is uranium, of course, in South Africa
right.
and countries in Africa. The thing I think that you brought up is this happens in places all over the world. It's not discussed much, and particularly Africa.
Right. South America. Rarely I hear about African sightings.
But there are, we just don't hear about it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Egypt and Northern Africa, we hear a lot about potential, UFOs, extraterrestrials helping the Egyptians build the Great Pyramid. So, I mean, it is kind of the homeland of many of the human species. So I would think Africa would be kind of a hot spot still to this day of UFO sightings or encounters. So that might be a possibility. But what made you really interested in this? Because it's been 94, so almost 30 years ago now, 28 years ago. When did you get involved, and what was your like interest in this?
In 2007 is when I got involved in this project.
Started. Nice.
I saw the first interviews with the children that Dr. Mack did in 1995. And that was the first, I never forgot seeing those interviews just because of the honesty that came across. No matter what they were talking about, you knew they were talking about the truth of something they had witnessed. And it was a journey from 2007 to figure out, well, what was that? And how much legs did that story have?
And what was the research that Dr. Mack, what was his more research into this incident? How important was it for the relevancy of this event?
I think it was very important because of his skill as a clinician, as a child psychiatrist for 20 years.
Right.
I mean, he worked with children as well as adults. So I think he brought in a sensitivity and a sense of trust that made the story a little more details came out that were
right.
not necessarily present in the several other interviews that were done by news agencies.
And I know that he dealt with a lot of abductees.
That's correct.
Yeah. Were any of these 62 children, did any of them feel like they were abducted or just more of an encounter face to face?
I think it was, from what I gather at this stage, I think it is more of an encounter face to face rather than anything else happening there. There was apparently it was 10 to 15 minutes, according to the teachers and the students. So it's quite a long time period that this occurred over.
Right. So you said there was, okay, not you said, but it's proven that 62 children that spoke out and said that they saw this. But what about the teachers? Was there any teachers that said they saw that? Because there has to have been teachers out watching the playground or whatever, out on the, you know, the premises kind of overseeing the children.
That's, yes, there's some of that. And we did not choose to put it in the film at this point. there was a woman in the tuck shop, which is their little candy shop for the playground, but she was facing, it was just really interesting, the building, she couldn't see anything from that perspective, where she was at, and she was quite a distance away. So yeah, there were more than just the children as witnesses, but as a story to, you know, for the film, we started off with a very long, rough cut.
I'm sure.
And to get it down to within 100-minute range was really difficult. We had to be very selective what part of this story to tell, because it was so wide ranging. Witness category.
And I know over here, a lot of times, you know, people don't come forward because they don't want to be, you know, said that they're crazy and, you know, they're, you know, delusional, and family members don't tell anybody. I mean, even my mother back in the day, anything that you would get in trouble for, don't tell your dad, don't tell anybody else. So, you know, everybody they want to keep the secrets. What is it like, the difference between in America than there, because now you have 62 children. Now it's almost 30 years later. So now they're definitely in their late 30s or 40s. How many were like, no, I don't want to be on camera. I don't want to talk about it. How many actually came forward to talk about this incident?
Less than, I spoke with, yeah, quite a few chose to speak with me in person, but not on camera. And I hope those days are beginning to change.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of growth in this, the seriousness about this subject matter. And I hope that does change, because we're missing out on a lot of data that we could be collecting.
Well, what is some of the data? Because I'm sure John Mack, Dr. Mack, got a lot of data, and, you know, local people from family members, and I know the news even did a piece on it. What are some of the stuff that you're missing, or even not just yourself, but to really pinpoint some of the facts on this?
Well, I'm not just speaking about this particular incident, but others around the world. Piece of data. And this story was covered by 5 different news outlets at the time. And I just feel like every piece of data is important for something that we are not, fully versed on.
Well, how much of the was known when it comes to the actual case when you started? Because like you said, 5 news sources, 62 kids and their families, you know, a few teachers or some people are in the area that saw some sightings. What was part of the case that was kind of already out there, and what did you have to dig up when you started doing your research that was not part of the research before?
I think they did a fairly good job at the time. We did see it in England and also on sightings, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just seemed to disappear till I went and found the school in 2007. But 2020, vision kinda, behind the scenes after the fact is, fascinating, because it was so focused on the school itself that a lot of other things got missed, a lot of other witnesses. So that was fascinating to find those people. And they were more than willing at the, particularly if they had just seen something and not had right. some incredible story. The children's story is rather incredible. But you had all kinds of different people, particularly pilots, that really struck me.
Really?
They were seeing in the air the night before. Yes.
So it was okay. That gives even more credibility that at least pilots from the sky.
Oh, yeah. No, this story has a lot of credibility. There's no question about that. It's
And when you started finding the witnesses, what was the similarities? And then we'll get into what were some witnesses that even had more of a emphasize on details. So what was more of the similarities of the encounter itself? You know, what type of craft was it? You know, what did the aliens or extraterrestrials look like? What was the message that, you know, majority of the people got during that encounter?
Well, the children describe it best themselves. You know, I've tried to stay out of that. But, you know, it's silver craft that was oval shaped. It was really interesting, actually, how some of them described it. Because not everybody was familiar with the terminology that we have in the Western world of flying saucer and UFO and all that. They just, the native Shona didn't have those ways to describe it. So it gave it a lot of credibility on that aspect. They saw these, which has been a typical sighting around the world, of these tall, slender, short, slender, large headed, creatures with, very large eyes, which, a lot of the children described as rugby balls looking.
And now I was going to say, some of the pictures that I'll just go through, some of these pictures, this one in particular looks like it has four craft. Were there more than one craft?
There were reports of that. It wasn't just one. There was main one, but there were other objects in the sky.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty interesting. And and when were these drawn more at the time of the sighting? Yeah. Is this what maybe John Mack had the kids write or draw, or did they just draw this on their own?
No, this was Cynthia Hines, also the BBC reporter, was involved in this. But Cynthia Hines had the school have them do the drawings, and the kids themselves at the time after the incident.
Wow. I mean,
these are all from back then.
You know, not off the subject, but have you had your own encounters?
I've definitely had some experiences in my life. I don't choose to talk about them
right
at this point. I definitely have talked to quite a few people around the world that have had similar incidents. And the problem is, you know, nobody takes you seriously.
Right.
Or at least that's been the way in the past. And
it's changed a lot, though.
It really has. It's pretty refreshing to see us be, you know, people being able to discuss it openly.
Do you think your encounters, and not to get into it, but do you think your encounters have got you interested into this subject that led you into doing what you do?
I mean, it's almost like some of the children's of this incident. I think once you see something that doesn't fit the picture that you have been raised to believe,
right,
you start to look at life much more, in a much more detailed way. And you start looking for the answers to what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the children at this school have done the same thing. To see if they were alone in that, you know. But it is a worldwide phenomenon in every single country on the planet.
Do you think the people that have encounters, or from face to face, or seeing in the sky, or even abductees, do you feel, on a personal note, that does this answer, or not answer, does it raise more questions of why are we here? You know, I think human beings have asked this question on a daily basis. It's like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? You know, is there a God? All these questions. But do you feel this actually increases that question, or do you feel like it answers the question in some ways?
I don't think it answers any questions at all. I think it which is why we need more information. It raises so many questions. I don't think if somebody has the answers, they're not
telling us,
being straight with you.
Yeah.
I think the real truth is everybody has an enormous amount of questions about what's occurring.
Yeah. And I think people like yourself that put these films together, you know, it's very important because it does show different. For, like you said, for you, you're going out of the country and you're bringing somebody from another culture, from another language, but yet we're seeing the same sightings here, just, you know, in very similar beings and craft. And I think that's what's so fascinating, where some people don't have access, especially in 1994, access to the internet and cell phones, and we didn't have that back then. So, you know, we didn't. A lot of these kids probably never even heard of what a spacecraft was. Maybe E.T. if they had access to a movie theater, but some kids probably didn't even have access to going to movie theaters.
That's true. There were a few of the students that were sent VHS tapes by family from Canada or England of cartoons and different things like that. But there wasn't, definitely wasn't the majority. And it varied on what their exposure to media was at the time.
And what was the purpose for you to put this film together? Because there are a lot of films out there, you know, what was your purpose to put this together, and how did you make it different? Was it just the situation itself made it different, or how did you put this film together to make it different from other films of similar?
Well, the story itself was very extremely
unique,
riveting and unique. Yeah. And then I wanted to step out of this genre that UFO films get put into and told in a certain way. So I didn't have any narration. It's all spoken by first person witnesses. No special effects. The drawings are the special effects by the witnesses themselves, who are children. So there's a lot of different ways I wanted. My effort was to change the way we talk about these stories, because they are happening to real people.
Right.
It's not just a joke, you know. And in past, they have been, I believe, looked at that way. All kinds of cases around the globe, but that's that is changing, which is great.
Yeah, I know. In the film, they said something about some of the children spoke telepathically with the extraterrestrials, and one was something about pollution, which is a big hot topic right now when it comes to climate change. And, you know, many people contribute climate change with how we are polluting the earth and the oceans and everything else. Was that one of the topics that aliens or extraterrestrials talked to them about? And what was there other messages that they spoke of?
That was primarily, it wasn't a conversation, really. It was images projected. They all had to do with our environment and not telling us how to fix it or anything else, just reflecting apparently what they were seeing us and, in a way, warning us. That's what came across to the children. It's not all of them, but the ones that were closest to the incident.
So why do you think they revealed this to these children about, you know, pollution and didn't even give it a solution? And did any of these children grow up to be leaders and politicians that maybe could make a difference?
Well, I think it's common. If you really look at the other cases around the world, this is not an unusual message, if there is a message left that is fairly consistent. What was the other half of your question?
Sorry. I'm curious why they chose 62 children to make face-to-face encounter versus an adult that maybe, you know, could make a difference.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just curious why do you feel that these children were chosen?
I have no idea. Really. And I think they probably feel that same way.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see what they've gone on to do in their lives. They've all done well. And they are influential around the world.
That's great.
They're in different places all over the world, which required a lot of travel. But
I'm sure.
To find them all. But good questions. I wish I had answers to those questions. I think this is, again, something we have to really open our minds up to a little bit and do more research on the entire subject matter, which is, I'm glad NASA, the Navy.
Right. Finally.
Finally.
Yeah.
seems like something's happening on that end.
I know a lot of times, and again, I don't know about just face-to-face encounters, but abductees, a lot of times, family members, it's kind of a family genetic. I've heard from, you know, if I was abducted, my father was abducted and my great grandfather was abducted. You know, I've heard about families have been abducted throughout the years or centuries. And I didn't know if you got into the details of other, like, family members of their older generations that have, you know, had encounters or anything like that, because that might be one reason that, you know, they came down to see one or two people and just the other kids happened to be there.
I don't know the answer to that question. There's been research done on, you know, the theory that they're following lineage.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's entirely the case. I mean, you know, at the place we're at, I don't know if I completely believe that. And we also, there's another aspect of this that we aren't discussing too much, is how the human psyche deals with these type of events, by either, like, any type of experience that's beyond normal. How does the psyche react? How do you,
right?
Do you want to remember that? Do you block it out?
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that have had encounters, sometimes don't have the best encounters. But then there's other people that have amazing experiences. And it sounds like some of these school kids at the time when they interviewed them said they would actually like to have another interaction to ask questions to, you know, to some of their, you know, or get answers to some of their questions, which I found fascinating. So they apparently, it wasn't a bad experience.
Yeah, I don't even classify it anymore as being that. It's just, I think there was a shock, you know, involved. Usually it's something, you know, there's a ontological shock is what Dr. John Mack called it, and others, of just your worldview being shattered in a moment. That does not speak of intentions by these, whatever this intelligence is.
Yeah, and like I said, I think this project is important because, again, we don't, here in America, we don't hear about a lot of projects like that. And, you know, and when you started putting this together, I'm sure there's a lot of elements that you had to put together, because you also have to be entertaining when you put a documentary together, because you want people to watch it and stay on board. And what did you bring to this project to make it unique and to make it entertaining?
I don't think I had to do that.
No. Okay.
I mean, every character was there. Yeah. The only thing I had to really do is make it shorter. Really.
Right. You know,
make it more
right.
palatable to an audience for for 90 minutes or 100 minutes. No, there was plenty of material. And that's, I think that's what makes it unique, is it is for all first person, and it's out of their own mouths rather than trying to convince anybody about whether this is real or not.
Do you think this documentary can go in to become a full feature? Because I could see this as another type of an ET experience. Or what do you
think? Oh, I think so. I think that's where I have been with it, with movie studios already.
That's great.
I think it's, but I did have to put it out myself without having any changes, which is the reason why I did that. But I think I'm going to circle around to those same large companies that see its value.
And, you know, and most people, it's like when writing a book or a biography or putting especially a story like this, that nonfiction, and you get to interact with the people that experienced it. How has this project changed you? Even from your own experiences, your own interaction with, and then how has it changed your perspective on life and just you in general?
Well, it definitely opens your mind a bit. And getting to know the witnesses has been, I mean, it's an honor. I really got to give them a shout out for just being brave and speaking their minds and sharing their feelings. And I guess I went through a long period of just doing a lot more research off of the radar on this topic while I was shooting the film. I guess I became less afraid of it.
Oh, that's good.
In a way, to just address it and listen to other people, and to tell other people's stories, you know, particularly these types of events, which there are not just one of these particular events then, but there are events all over the world that we're just not aware of.
Have you thought about another event that you feel is as impactful as this, that you might want to do a documentary about?
There's many.
That's good.
Most are in other countries. I'm really not interested in the United States at this
point. There's enough people to tell those stories. We need other stories from without the United States.
I agree.
Was there one of the witnesses that you interviewed that maybe stood out the most, that just really, you know, gave you those goose pimples on the arm and said, this is, not that you didn't believe before, but it was just so compelling.
Yeah, that happened multiple times, to be honest with you. One of them, and there were several others, isn't on camera.
Not on camera.
Yeah. But I'll never forget sitting with her and the things she said. And I actually, you know, I asked her, I said, can I just record a pre-recording so, you know, I hear what you're going to say. So
people that I talk to are the same stories in America. And we don't really get to, like I said, get to hear new things. And that's why I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have Randall on the show to talk about this, because it's just so fascinating to hear what you had put together. It's amazing. And for people out there that really want to take a listen, it's Aerial Phenomenon, and you can definitely go see this. Where can we watch this, Randall?
It's at aerialphenomenon.com, A-R-I-E-L, phenomenon.com, aerialphenomenon.com. Yep.
Awesome.
You know, it's a funny story. The name of the film actually came from one of the witnesses.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's always good when you get it directly from the people that's involved.
I was interviewing him, and he said, he was in England. He, you know, moved out of Zimbabwe, and he said, "Why don't you call it aerial phenomena?" I'm like,
"You're like,
Yeah." A few years later, I called him and I said, "You know, that's perfect."
Yeah, it's a great title, and here are just some pictures right there. Is that some of the school children that were part of the sighting?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I love that it's a mix of just everyone. It's not, you know, white and or black. It's a mix of everyone, and you get to hear different perspectives and stories, and I love that. And but thank you.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for sharing the story with us.
Oh, thank you.
So, well, Randall, thank you so much for being a part of Truth Be Told. This was great. Please, any projects you have coming up that you put out like this, please get a hold of us. We definitely want to share with our audience, and we hope that you put out many more. Because, like you said, there's stories from all over the world, and we want to hear them.
Well, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Is there any other place besides your, is there a, also Instagram or anything else that you put out, anything else, or is it just go ahead?
Oh, yeah, we're all, if you go to the website, you can see all our TikTok and Facebook. You can see the trailer, Instagram. Yeah, we have all, we're on all the platforms.
Great. All right, everybody. Well, once again, Truth Be Told, we bring you some amazing guests, and like I said, go see the rent the documentary, and I just love the visuals of them pointing to the sky. It reminds me of Close Encounters, and you know, that's a classic of you know, our genre. And but until next time, thank you, everybody, and thank you, Randall, for being here.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
All right, take care of yourself and be well. And make sure you guys tune in every Monday for Robert Hensley's Truth Be Told Minuteman, Bonnie Burkett on Wednesdays for Truth Be Told Transformation. Of course, me every Friday right here on Truth Be Told. Until next time, keep looking at the sky. You never know what you're going to see. Bye. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Be told worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.